key. Morgan explained. The truth was, she was running. She didn't want to face Messiah or even be in his vicinity. She grabbed her handbag and rushed down the stairs.
I'm headed up to sign my lease. I'll see you there.
She shouted to Ethic as she rushed out of the house. She didn't even wait for his response. She was already out of the door. It only took Morgan an hour to get to the college town. Since she was joining so late in the year, she couldn't stay on campus. So Ethic was financing her an apartment close by. If she kept her GPA strong, he would do so until she graduated. As soon as she got her key and opened the door to her new place, all the heaviness she felt, all the sadness, all the drama dissipated. This was her chance to do something with her life and to put the ghost that followed her to Flint to rest. She was no longer afraid to face the world by herself because she was just like everyone else. She had been through hell and back, but it felt like this was a new chance to make a new life, one where she wasn't the poor little deaf orphan. Ethic showed up first with Bella and Easy in tow. He was nothing less than a proud father. He had raised her, and she could see that he was trying his hardest to keep his emotions in check.
This is so dope! I'm gonna come visit every weekend, Bella said as she looked around in amazement.
And I'm gonna hold you to that. I don't have any friends here, so I'm gonna need your company,
Morgan said, laughing.
Where's all your furniture?
Easy asked as he did cartwheels in her bare living room.
It'll be delivered sometime today, Morgan answered. And are you gonna come visit me too?
Mm-hmm,
he answered as he bounced and jumped and ran around her. Morgan laughed. He never sat still, like ever, and his energy always cheered her up, at least when it wasn't working her nerves.
Yo!
Messiah's voice made her heart drop, and she watched him enter her place without knocking, as if he, himself, were the financer.
Shorty do what? Hey, where you want us to put your boxes?
He asked.
You can just set them anywhere, she said without looking at him.
Yeah, we gotta go. I've gotta be back in Flint by this evening. I just wanted to come down, look around, make sure you're comfortable. And if you need anything, Morgan, you call me. You understand? We're family.
Ethic said. He was always so cautious, so serious. He worried about the well-being of everyone else constantly, but neglected himself.
I'll be okay, she said.
He stood in front of her and looked off into the distance as emotion caused his eyes to water. He squeezed the bridge of his nose and pulled her in to kiss the top of her head.
All right, Mo. Messiah and his mans will get your boxes in and get you settled. I'm gonna head back.
She didn't realize how fatherly he was until he was walking out. Ethic was the man that would walk her down the aisle, who her future children would call Grandpa and who she could always run to with their problems. He was the man she would measure every man against, and as she looked out her window, she teared up watching him and the kids walk to the car. She stepped out onto her balcony.
Ethic!
She yelled. He looked up at her.
I love you!
I love you too, baby girl,
he said as he shot his hands up in a salute. Morgan barricaded herself in the room while Messiah and Issa unloaded her boxes from the truck. She didn't even say thank you when they were done. She simply told Messiah to let himself out without even looking his way. Messiah made it all the way back to Flint before he decided to turn around. He dropped his man off and then jumped right back on the highway and headed right back to Morgan. She had ignored him all day, and although he understood her attitude was created by him, it still affected him. He had pushed her away, and now that she was gone, he felt the impact from her resentment. She didn't bang with him at all. Whatever affection she had for him had turned to hate. He could see it. He could feel it when he was in her presence. He cut the hour drive in half as he sped down the expressway. When he arrived, he didn't bother to call. He stormed straight to her door and gripped the side of the frame as he knocked hard. She snatched it open. Face bent like she was ready to cuss somebody out for the interruption. But when she saw him, she rolled her eyes as she crossed her arms across her chest.
What are you doing here? I thought you were the pizza guy.
She snapped with an attitude as she shifted her weight on her back foot, causing her voluptuous behind to stick out of the bottom of her tiny boy shorts as her back curved in an arch.
You answer the door like that for the pizza guy?
He asked, territorial, as he looked her up and down. Her cut-off green sweater barely covered the bottom of her breast, her toned stomach was on display, and half her behind was hanging out. He could see her from the front, and he was steaming. Even the sight of her pretty white painted toes pissed him off.
What I do is none of your concern, she said.
He walked into her place without invitation, and she closed the door.
And you made it crystal clear. So if I want to order a dick with a special side of sauce and have it delivered to me, that's my business.
Messiah advanced on her, backing her up against the wall until she had nowhere to go.
It don't make me fuck none of these college boys up in here,
he threatened.
Don't make me fuck none of these college boys up out here. I could hire strangers to do that shit for you. I don't even be getting my shit dirty like that,
he said, holding out his palms as he spoke.
I did it because it was you. And I wanted to see where you rest your head at. You couldn't even give a nigga thank you.
Excuse me?
She snapped.
I didn't ask you to move anything. I would think you were too busy putting dick in my best friend to be bothered with me.
Morgan snapped.
Man, fuck that girl. I never touched her. I said that shit so you would come here. So you would get the fuck away from Flint and live your life. Chase your dream, shorty.
Messiah said, as his eyes appreciated her entire body, roaming her from her pretty toes to her flawless bone-straight hair and lingering on all the goodies in between. His dick jumped.
Man, go put on some clothes, man. A nigga come to the door with a pizza and see all that, man. He gonna try and get it.
Messiah fussed, bothered by the idea of a random guy seeing her body.
You ain't want it. Now you don't want anybody else to have it?
She snapped, her eyes ablaze in anger. She didn't even know how they had started arguing over the pizza man. Messiah was crazy and jealous, but not even her man to be any of those things at all.
I want it.
Messiah conceded. He kissed her lips, soliciting a moan that she didn't mean to let escape.
Damn, I want it.
He repeated as he kissed her neck, making her head fall to the side and her eyes close.
You said you didn't want it.
She groaned.
You know I want that shit.
He whispered as his hands roamed underneath her sweatshirt and found her nipples. They pebbled at his touch as Morgan pulled the entire shirt over her head. His lips and tongue circled her areolas as he went from one breast to the other. Morgan quivered.
You don't act like you want it.
Her protests were just foreplay now, because if he wanted it or not, she was giving it to him. His dick pressed into her, and she whimpered as he slid her panties to the side and lowered onto his knees.
Let me show you,
was the last thing he said before he tasted her. Morgan's back arched as her hands wrapped around his head and he put her legs over his shoulders. Messiah's tongue was so warm that it melted her center as he rotated his entire head in circles. He assaulted her clitoris, sucking and pulling and licking and flicking.
Ugh!
She screamed as she rolled her hips, increasing the pressure on his tongue. She was glazing his entire face as she frantically pushed her sex into him. It was the best she had ever felt. He put two thick fingers inside of her as he hummed while eating her. Some people hummed while they ate great food. Messiah hummed when he ate good pussy. Morgan was serving him the best meal he had ever had. It was like she was feeding a starving man. He devoured her. Messiah laid her down on the floor and then pulled back her fat lips to give himself better access to her pearl. He paused briefly to admire it as it swelled and her juices dripped from it.
Damn, I want it, shorty,
he growled as he dove back in.
You taste good as fuck. I can eat this pussy all day.
A rush came over Morgan as she clenched her thighs around his head.
Wait, Messiah, wait.
She cried. She had never felt anything so intense. Her whole pussy was tender to his touch. Every time he pulled at her clit, she felt like it was a piñata, taking as many licks as it could before she would explode. He lifted her ass off the floor, his hands kneading her backside as she rolled upward, grinding his face. When he stuck a finger in her backside, Morgan erupted. He didn't stop licking until she went limp in his arms, and he lowered her back to the floor. He wiped his face with his hand and came up from between her legs. She reached for him, and he kissed her, softly, slowly.
"That's my shit,"
he said as he gripped her chin and stopped their kiss to look into her eyes.
"You hear me?"
She nodded.
"No more answering the door for the pizza man in your panties and shit,"
he said as he kissed her, biting her bottom lip gently. She laughed as he pulled her on top of him and stared up at her.
"You know we can't tell Ethic, right?"
she said, her expression regretful.
"I'll figure that part out,"
Messiah promised.
"It just might take me some time. But not having you is no longer an option."
She reached beneath her and grabbed his dick, lifting slightly to guide herself down onto it. Her mouth fell open at his girth. Morgan was inexperienced and still so tight that it hurt a little. He flipped her on her back.
"You're not ready for that,"
he said. He slid into her, slowly, rocking, giving her the dick inch by inch until all 10 of them was nestled inside of her.
"Let me know if I'm hurting you."
He stared at her, his hands on the side of her head.
"I won't hurt you, Mo."
She could see the worry in his eyes. His words had a deeper meaning, but she trusted him.
"You can never hurt someone you love,"
she whispered. He began to grind into her, the muscles in his entire body tensing as she touched his face. She lifted her head to kiss him, and he kissed her back, the flavor of her womanhood lingering on his lips.
"I love you, Messiah,"
she whispered. He grunted as he fucked her slow, each stroke deeper than the one before, as if he was trying to dig his way to her soul. He didn't believe anyone could love him. Nobody certainly had ever told him. And the melody of her voice, that rasp, the sincerity. Fuck, if he didn't love her too.
"Tell me again, baby,"
he said, as she threw her body back at him, like waves in the ocean crashing against one another, they rocked the boat.
"Ooh,"
she moaned, her face twisted in an ugly pleasure, as she bit down into her lip as he took control of her body. He was straddling the line between being delicate and going beast inside her. He had flirted with the idea of this night many times in his mind, but nothing was like the real thing.
"I love you, Messiah,"
she groaned.
"Fuck!"
she screamed as the sound of their skin meeting, slapping throughout the apartment. Her pussy sucked him in and spit him out, massaging his manhood again and again. When she had been raped, they had robbed her of her virginity, but Messiah was the first man to enter her by choice. She wished they hadn't stolen her gift before she could give it to him, because the way he was working her body over made her never want to know what it was like to have someone else inside of her again.
"I'm coming,"
she whined, as she pulled him into her, gripping his ass, locking her thighs to keep him there in her depths. He knew he should pull out. He wasn't strapped up. He was never this reckless, and he was about to press the eject until he heard her say it again.
"Messiah,"
she moaned.
"Oh, this fucking girl gonna be the death of me,"
he thought, realizing he had found his weakness, and in the same thought, deciding that he had to keep her hidden, because there were niggas who had been searching for his soft spot for years. If it was ever discovered that she was it, she would be a target. Messiah groaned as he planted his seeds inside of her, and then moved her hair out of her face to see that she was crying.
"I love you,"
he finally answered.
"I've never done this before. So, if I start loving you wrong, you gotta let me know."
She nodded. He kissed her tears away and then rolled onto his back, pulling her on top so he could hold her. He had never wanted to be this close to a woman. Never trusted them enough to stay after sex, but this was different. It scared him. That's how he knew it was real. Knock, knock.
That's the pizza,
Morgan said, standing up and heading to the door, naked. Messiah stood and chased her to the door, catching her by the waist from behind and sending her into fits of laughter. Messiah pushed her behind the door as he smiled and opened the door, naked, dick swinging, hitting mid-thigh even when it wasn't fully erect. He was sculpted like an African king. He grabbed the pizza, roughly, from the college pretty boy standing in front of him.
How much I owe you, homeboy?
The light-skinned boy stammered as he looked up instead of straight at Messiah.
20 bucks,
he said. Morgan snickered from behind the door as Messiah handed her the 20 and walked over to his pants, pulling a wad of money from his pocket. He peeled off 100 and walked back to the door and handed it to the pizza man.
Hey, keep the change. Hey, yo, if you ever come here and my girl answer the door wearing some skimpy shit and you start thinking about trying her, remember me, nigga. It's good, but it ain't worth dying over. You have a good night.
Morgan's laughter bellowed as Messiah closed the door. They shared a laugh as Morgan put the pizza on the counter. They ended the night in her kitchen, naked, as she sat on the countertop beside the box and he stood between her legs, feeding her pizza. Messiah had never been so relaxed with a woman, and Morgan had never been without an insecurity. She always worried about the way people saw her or how she sounded. In this room, with just the two of them, they realized that discomfort didn't exist, and neither wanted the sun to rise and burst the bubble they had created. Chapter 16. Pastor asked me to see if you would mentor in a debutante pageant this year, Nanny asked as she moved around the kitchen, preparing a meal fit for a king, as Alani sat at the table, writing in her journal. Alani's pen paused as she looked back at her aunt.
That doesn't really sound like my idea of a good time, being around all those mothers with their daughters.
Nanny removed her silver pans from the oven and placed them on top of the stove.
Well, I already told them yes. All that money the church donated, when you were in need, you better have your butt down there tomorrow morning for the rehearsal. There are a lot of girls who need mentors. Everybody don't have a mother to participate with, so I'm sure whoever you get will appreciate you. And girl, get your narrow tail up and come help me with something. You invite a man over to your house for dinner and got me fixing it.
She fussed. A horn honked outside, and Nanny went to grab her purse.
Now I'm going to the bingo hall with Mr. Larry. I'll see you later.
Alani kissed her aunt's cheek and walked her to the door.
And don't you let those biscuits burn.
I won't,
Alani called. Alani checked her watch. It was almost time for Ethic to arrive. She had cleaned her house from top to bottom, but it was only so much shining she could do to an old shoe. Her house was old and worn, but it was clean, and she hoped Ethic didn't judge her. It was clear he was used to living a certain lifestyle. He had blown $60,000 on her without batting an eye. She didn't come from that. Spending the $60 it had taken to put together tonight's meal had been a big decision for her, and she would have to eat the leftovers for days to make up for that splurge. He was worth it, however. His friendship made her pain dull a bit, and for that, she wanted to show appreciation. When he knocked at the door, Alani checked herself in the mirror, fluffing her day-old twist out, trying to tame it a bit. She frowned because her fluffing just made it worse. She hurriedly pulled her hair tie off her arm and pineappled all her curls on top of her head. She hadn't had time to get super cute. She had just left class a few hours before. The long-sleeve black maxi dress hugged her nicely, but it wasn't date material.
Oh, good thing this isn't a date. Thank God we're just friends,
she whispered. This was as good as it was going to get. When she heard the bell ring a second time, she hurried to the door. Ethic stood there,
dapper as ever, without even trying. The cowl neck, the Ferragamo sweater, dark wash denim jeans, and Prada shoes told her this was as casual as he was going to get. He emanated grown man, even down to the scent of his cologne.
"Hi," she greeted.
"Hey, I didn't know what you drank, so I brought wine. It's a 1999 Bordeaux,"
Ethic said, as he handed her the bottle.
Considering I drink a $10 Moscato, I'm sure I'll enjoy it. I'm not very hard to please," she said, smiling.
"Thank you."
She looked at the box he held as well.
"Can I take that from you?"
she asked, unsure of what he was holding. Ethic was distracted. He had forgotten about the box he held in his hands. It was eerie being back inside Alani's house, and his mind kept drifting back to the sight of her daughter, dying in his arms.
Sorry. Yeah, they're for you. I don't know the rules to this, new school dating thing, so I bought these just in case it's still a thing to do,"
he said. He handed her the box and the words Le Fleur written on it in a fancy script. She opened it to find the most beautiful bouquet of roses she had ever seen.
"Wow. They're so pretty," she said. "I don't think a gesture like this ever goes out of style, so thank you."
She now felt guilty for not putting more effort into her look.
"He said the word date,"
she thought, suddenly anxious as she led him to the table.
"Food smells good,"
Ethic said as he took a seat.
"You made all this?"
He eyed the food on the stove. It had been years since he had had a good old-fashioned meal. Lily was under strict instructions to keep him and his children on a lean diet. He didn't want the generational curses of high blood pressure and diabetes to affect his family, so instead, he was very strict on what he put in his body. He would cheat tonight, however. This type of food was made with love. Alani had put a lot of effort from the looks of things, and a woman took pride in feeding a man. He sat at the table as she went to the stove to fix his plate. His eyes bounced around the room, taking in her home. It was where she was most vulnerable, where she hid the ugly parts of her from the world. How she lived would tell him things that the words would never say. Like the fact that the carpet was spotless, told him that she was particular about people taking off their shoes. She had been polite by allowing him to wear his inside. The flourishing plants in the window told him that she had a good energy because plants didn't grow around negative forces. Only light made them grow, and despite her circumstance, Alani illuminated without even trying to. The way she kept her bathroom would tell him of her cleanliness, but he didn't snoop that far. He had discovered Dolce was trifling just by pulling back her shower curtain. Ethic didn't have those worries with Alani. He could tell from the way she kept her nails groomed, the back of her feet impeccably smooth, and the scent of almonds in her hair, that she was meticulous. She set a plate of food in front of him, and then took her seat across from him. She placed a cloth napkin onto her lap.
"You're nervous,"
Ethic said aloud. Alani lifted her eyes to him.
"I don't just invite people here,"
she said, as she looked around the kitchen, slightly embarrassed.
"Because you value your privacy or because you're ashamed?"
he asked frankly.
"I guess both," she said.
"Well, you own this house, right?"
he asked.
"Yeah," she answered. "There's nothing to write home about, though. I bought it from the land bank with the tax return when my daughter was born. I moved around a lot when I was little. My mama showed me exactly what not to do when I became a mother. She was a prostitute, still is probably, if she's still alive out there somewhere. We were always running out on a landlord, couch surfing with her friends, or staying with strange men. I hopped from school to school. I was always afraid because I didn't have a safe place to retreat to. I was always sleeping in somebody else's bed, always eating somebody else's food. I didn't want that for my daughter. So I bought this place to make sure she always had a consistent roof over her head. And as you can see, my budget wasn't very big, but at least she knew. And she would sleep in the same place every night."
"Small win is a win,"
Ethic replied.
"You own this house. This land is yours. There's no shame in that. If you did it with this house, you can do it with the one next door, and the one next to that, and before you know it, you're a black woman with a whole block, with assets. This is the first step to building your wealth. Now that's something to be proud of. I'm sorry about your mother, by the way. It had to be tough.
It was, she said, her eyes on her plate. But it made me stronger. She focused on her plate, scooping up a bite of homemade mac and cheese because she didn't know what else to say. The conversation had gone to a heavy place, bringing up moments that she didn't dwell on often.
So how is it that you're not taking ethic?
She asked as she cocked her head to the side, looking curiously at him, as she lightened the mood. He chuckled.
Because it takes a lot to keep my interest. I've loved a great woman before. Not many women measure up.
He said honestly.
Do I?
She asked.
Do you what?
He asked.
Measure up to a great woman.
She asked. Ethic set his fork down.
I don't know if anybody would ever compare.
He said honestly.
Well, you seem to really love her.
Alani whispered.
She's an idiot for letting you go.
She's dead.
He admitted. Alani dropped her fork, causing it to clang against the table as she covered her mouth. She had been so busy fishing for compliments, trying to gauge how he felt about her, that she had neglected to see the mourning in his eyes.
I'm so sorry, she whispered. I didn't know.
It's fine,
he assured.
She's my past. You're the present.
She smiled at that.
Tell me about your daughter's father,
he said. Ethic knew that Cream wanted smoke, and sure, he wanted to know more about the potential threat that loomed over his head, but it wasn't a great concern of his. Ethic wanted to know the history of her heart. Who had broken it, and what had yet to be prepared?
Where is he?
Alani grew uncomfortable, shifting in her seat.
He's not in the picture. He's locked up. But even before that happened, we had our problems. I loved him, and he just walked all over me. And when you love someone, you give them your heart to hold, hoping that they don't fumble it. And you trust them to keep it safe.
He just didn't keep me safe. He fumbled me every opportunity he got.
He lied. He cheated. And like an idiot, I forgave him. Over and over again. The crazy part is, I'm not even that type of girl. The one to stay after I feel disrespected. But he turned me into someone I didn't even recognize.
I was a crazy person with him, checking phones, emails, switching cars to follow him around the city just to catch him in a lie. All to reinforce what I already knew. I began to question myself. What was I doing wrong? What were other women doing and I wasn't? It just became too much. He wasn't for me.
And if he gets out?
Ethic pressed.
Oh, he's getting out soon, actually.
She said, confirming the information Messiah had already told him.
But he and I will never be together again. It's not happening. I'm not weak enough to go back.
Their conversation flowed from the complexities of their past to the simplicities of their preferences. Alani wasn't shy about asking 21 questions. She wanted to know everything about Ethic, even down to the most trivial things like his favorite color. She hadn't ever met a man so gentle, yet with an air of unspoken authority that told her he was masking great power. Why he would hide his gangster, she didn't know, but she was glad he didn't flaunt it. The subtlety of his dominance made her like him more. He was generous, yet somehow, she knew he didn't lavish just anyone with the gift of his time or his money.
How had she gotten him to come to her ghetto little house and break bread over what was sure a ghetto meal to him? She didn't know, but she was just grateful for his company. By the time they finished talking, she had fed him 2 helpings and dessert. She stood and grabbed his plate, and he felt his dick jump as he watched her walk away.
Behave,
he thought to himself.
This ain't that.
He knew he shouldn't even be in her proximity. There was too much at stake for him to risk being this close to her, this close to the dirt that he had done. But Alani was like a flame, and Ethic was her moth. It was the obvious things that attracted him to her. Her body was average. It was beautiful, but far from perfect, and evidence of her motherhood was present on her hips and thighs. He would bet his last that stretch marks covered her ample behind. It was exquisite, but her small waist let him know that her thickness had been a side effect of childbirth. The modest maxi dress that she wore looked like lingerie wrapped around an ass like that. It sat on top of thighs that were made for wrapping around a man's back. Her waist was thin, and her face was pretty. Ethic was a man in position, so he had attracted prettier, but prettier had never attracted him. Her vibe was refreshing, it was authentic, and he was swimming in troubled waters. It was the little things about her that he appreciated. Her domesticity was refreshing to a man that lacked it. She didn't want to be on the scene eating $100 dinners. She had invited him to her home, prepared the meal herself, or so he thought, and now was putting leftovers in the old country crock bowls and using aluminum foil to cover them. She was a black woman making shit work, and the sight of her made Ethic's dick hard. He wanted to lift her dress, take her from behind, and put babies in her, because she was the type of woman that raised children well. Then he remembered that he had robbed her of that opportunity. His eyes shot to the living room floor, to the bloodstains, and his guilt burdened him. He was disrespectful for even coming back. He stood.
"It's, getting late,"
he said as he walked up behind her, and she placed all the dirty dishes into the sink.
"Yeah, my aunt'll be back soon. I guess we should call it a night,"
she replied. She cut off the water and turned to face him, instantly noticing that his disposition had changed. He had opened up to her over the past few hours, but she could see that he had restored his guard.
"I'll walk you out."
She saw Ethic to the door, and he went into his pocket to pull out his wallet. He opened it and removed 10 $100 bills. He placed it on the hutch that sat near the door.
"To replace the money that you spent on groceries to prepare this meal. Thank you,"
he said.
"Ethic, that's not necessary," she declined.
"A man that has you cooking food and he doesn't provide is not a man,"
he said.
"Lock up,"
he instructed, bossing her around in her own home. Alani felt cheated when he walked out without even touching her. She needed his transference of energy. She was offended that he hadn't offered it, and being the big mouth that she was, she had to let him know.
"Ethic!"
she shouted as she stepped out onto her porch with bare feet. He turned back.
"Every time you see me, I need you to touch me. It just makes things better,"
she said as she approached him.
"I can't,"
Ethic declined.
"I won't be able to control my hands, Alani, and I can't offer you more than what I'm giving, even this tonight. It's too much."
Ethic saw no point in lying. He was running out of restraint with her.
"That's not fair. Why is this too much?"
she asked.
"I walk through every half hour of every day, feeling like I'm bleeding on the inside. It feels like I'm dying, and the only time it doesn't is when I'm with you. I'm fine with friends. I know you don't do the girlfriend thing, but I just need to feel your arms around me."
This was getting too deep. He had taken things with her too far. He could see she wanted more from him, and he couldn't handle that. What bothered him was that he wanted it too. That she soothed his ails as well. She was the antidote, and he had been searching for. He couldn't save her. She was crying as she walked up to him, lifting her hands to his face. She tried to touch his scars, and he pulled his head away, slightly.
but her gentle fingertips coaxed him to allow her free rein. She cupped his face in her hands and then closed the space between them, sliding her hands around his shoulders as he wrapped her in his embrace. She rested her forehead against his chest as she lowered her head, closing her eyes.
God, this man is energy, she prayed. Please, help him let me in.
I've got to go,
he whispered. She stepped back and nodded, before rushing into her house, because the last thing she wanted to do was watch him leave.
Do I have to go?
Bella complained.
I made up all the work I missed. I haven't skipped any classes, I swear. It won't happen again, Daddy. Please, please don't make me go do this.
You're going, Bella. End of discussion,
Ethic stated. Ethic knew that his daughter needed some female mentorship, and participating in the church's debutante pageant would give her that opportunity. He was a man. There were certain things he couldn't help her with. And with Mo out of the house, he didn't want Bella to have to figure it all out on her own. He had to provide connections to women he could trust. If that meant going to church, then so be it.
We don't even go to church,
she moaned.
It won't be that bad, Bella. Just give it a chance,
he said. She didn't speak with him the entire ride, but it didn't change his mind. As a single father, his worst fear was to have Bella be led astray due to his lack of guidance, so he felt this was necessary. He climbed out of the car and then walked around to open the door for her, before leading her inside.
Not even gonna know anyone here. All these girls probably go to this church and already know each other,
she mumbled. They followed the sounds of voices into the sanctuary, and Ethic grabbed Bella's hand to lead her over to a woman that looked like she was in charge.
Good morning. How can I help you?
The woman asked as she smiled. I'm Alicia White.
Ezra Okafor. This is my daughter, Bella.
He introduced. Bella gave a tight-lipped smile.
Oh, nice to meet you both, and we're happy to have you participating this year, Bella,
the woman said. She grabbed a piece of paper off the front pew and handed it to Ethic.
This is a list of rehearsal dates. There are only two. You'll be required to wear an all-black suit for the father and daughter dance. Bella's required to wear a white floor-length gown. Bella's mother will need to also wear a white for the mother-daughter portion of the ceremony.
I don't want to be in this pageant,
Bella said as tears filled her eyes.
Can we just go already?
Bella was emotional and turned to storm off, but Ethic grabbed her by her wrist and pulled her into his chest.
Did I say something wrong?
The woman asked.
We lost her mother when Bella was younger,
Ethic stated in a low tone as he kissed the top of Bella's head.
Oh, baby, I'm sorry,
the older woman said.
But, baby, you have to participate. You're in God's house and his angels are watching, and I'm sure your mother would love to see you dressed up and taking this passage into womanhood. Now, we have mentors who volunteer to participate with girls who don't have their mothers in the picture.
Bella was sobbing, and he felt her shaking as he held her. The chatter from the other girls and mothers across the room ceased as they all focused their attention on Bella. It was then that he realized he was the only man in the room. Every other girl had a woman present supporting them. Ethic could provide and had provided a lot for Bella over the years, but nothing could make up for being a motherless child. She bolted from the sanctuary, and Ethic turned to the woman.
I'm sorry,
he said before going after his daughter. As soon as he made it to the hallway, he was shocked at the sight before him. Alani stood there, holding Bella, as she cried hysterically on her shoulder. Confusion, empathy, and hurt resonated in Alani's eyes as she looked up at him.
Shh,
she whispered as she caressed Bella's head gently. Ethic stepped toward them, but Alani put up one hand, stopping him, as if that one hand possessed some type of magic that cursed his feet from moving. Her other hand was wrapped tightly around Bella. It was a motherly embrace, a comforting hold, and one that Ethic knew his daughter needed.
I've got it,
she said.
Come on, baby girl,
she said, as she whisked Bella into the women's bathroom. Ethic didn't know where Alani had come from,
but he was grateful for her presence because his daughter was hurting, and he had no idea what to do. Alani grabbed Kleenex from the sink and cupped Bella's chin in her hands as she wiped her tears.
"It's okay to cry, Bella. Let it out,"
she whispered, as her own eyes misted. There was so much pain in this little girl. Bella's entire body quaked.
"I told him. I don't want to come here,"
Bella said, hyperventilating between her words, trying hard to catch her breath.
"Everyone is here with their moms. Mine is dead and it's just not fair."
Alani's heart throbbed in recognition as she said,
"Oh, sweetheart, I know it hurts really bad being without your mom, and I'm so sorry you have to go through that. But there'd be a lot of times when you just need her and you wish she was there. Let me share a secret with you, okay, about mothers and their babies. We never leave. There's nothing that will make a mother leave her child. Even after every bit of air has left our lungs, we'll still be with our children. You can feel her, can't you?"
Alani asked as she pointed to Bella's chest.
"Have you ever had a decision to make that you were unsure about and a voice inside your head told you what to do?"
Bella's cries had dulled, but tears still flowed as she nodded.
"That's your mother, Bella. That's the part of her that she planted inside of you the day you were born. You want to know how I know?"
Bella looked up at her.
"Because I'm heartbroken, too. My daughter died. And I still feel her. I still talk to her every night when I pray, and she visits me every night when I dream."
Alani was the one crying now. They were crying together. They related to one another.
"It's just not fair,"
Bella said.
"It isn't. And you have a right to be mad, Bella." "I'm mad, too. It isn't something that anyone understands, if they haven't been through it. But I understand. And if you ever need to talk, you know your dad is a great listener,"
Alani said.
"He doesn't get it,"
Bella cried.
"Well, I know we just met, but I'm a pretty good listener, too, and I'd like to be friends, if it's cool with you. One thing about me..."
Alani paused to wet a paper towel as she wiped Bella's face.
"I'm a really good friend, and I'm always here for my friends when they need me." "I like that,"
Bella whispered.
"Now listen, I never got to be in a debutante pageant before, and I'd love to be in it with you. If you'll have me, we can make both my daughter and your mother happy, because I know that they'll both be right here with us. I know I'm not your mom, but I'd really like to take this experience with you. What do you think?"
Bella rolled her eyes to the sky and then closed them as she tried to compose herself.
"I can't believe I just embarrassed myself like that."
"Nobody's judging you here,"
Alani said.
"How about we go back in, together?"
"Okay,"
Bella said. Alani held up her finger.
"One second,"
she said. She pulled out her concealer and nude-colored lip gloss and applied a little bit to Bella's face.
"There. Nothing like a little makeup to erase all evidence of tears,"
Alani said. Bella looked in the mirror and smiled, and then allowed Alani to escort her out.
"We're ready,"
Alani said with a smile as she emerged with a hand around Bella's shoulders, the look of worry on Ethic's face as he hugged Bella and moved Alani. There was nothing more attractive than a man that loved his children.
"Thank you,"
he mouthed. She nodded.
"Bella, we better get in there. We can't let these other duos show us up,"
Alani said with a wink.
"Alani said she'll be my mentor, Daddy,"
Bella said.
"If that's okay,"
Alani said, her brows dipping in concern as suddenly she felt like she may have overstepped. Ethic nodded as he watched them walk back into the sanctuary.
He entered moments later and took a seat in the back pew while he watched Alani interact with his daughter. She was so nurturing, so calming. At that moment, she was God sent, and Ethic hated that he would have to give her back because the greatest sin he had ever committed had been against her. When the rehearsal was complete, both Bella and Alani were all smiles as they approached him. She didn't have to ask for his touch this time, because right after he hugged his daughter, he pulled Alani close.
"Thank you,"
he whispered into her ear. The doors behind him swung open, and Alani's smile grew brighter.
"Oh, Nanny! Perfect timing. I'd like for you to meet my friend, Ezra, and his daughter, Bella."
Ethic turned to greet the woman, but as soon as she looked him in the eyes, the woman's face contorted on the left side as she mumbled,
"That man that killed my g—"
The woman was speaking mumbo-jumbo as she staggered forward, her weight falling into Ethic.
"Nanny?"
Alani screamed in panic. Nanny had her mouth open in an O of fear as she lay paralyzed in Ethic's arms.
"Nanny! Someone call 911!
If she dies, I don't know what I'll do,"
Alani whispered as she sat in the waiting room at the hospital, clasping her hands together as she rocked back and forth in a chair.
"Thank you so much for staying here with me. I know you have kids and..."
"I'm not going anywhere. My nanny, Lily, can take care of my kids for the night. I'm right here,"
Ethic assured. He knew in his bones that Alani's aunt had recognized him. There was something about the look in her eyes that told him so, and he knew if she died, he would be responsible.
"I've got to tell you something, Alani,"
Ethic said. She looked at him, eyes wide and full of worry. But before he could speak, a doctor walked into the waiting room.
"Lanika Hill,"
he called out. Alani jumped up.
"That's me. How's my aunt?"
"Please, sit,"
the doctor said. It felt like the ground was pulled from underneath her as she fell into the chair, preparing herself for the worst.
"Your aunt suffered a massive stroke. She's alive, but there's significant damage. She's in a coma, and her scans now show very limited brain activity."
Alani reached out and gripped Ethic's forearm.
"What does that mean?"
"It means you have a decision to make. Since you are her power of attorney, you need to decide how we proceed from here. Right now, there's a machine breathing for her. You can remove her from life support, let nature take its course, or you can keep the machines breathing for her."
"I can't just unplug her. What if there's a chance that she'll wake up?"
Alani's voice was childlike. She felt 3 feet tall and defenseless against a world that wanted to leave her alone.
"Now, the chances are very minimal, Miss Hill. If there was some motion of the lines of her CT, I'd be more hopeful. I don't believe she can recover from a stroke of this size. I'm sorry,"
the doctor said.
"Can I see her?"
Alani asked.
"Of course,"
the doctor replied. She turned to Ethic.
"Will you come?"
Ethic leaned into her as he whispered,
"I don't think I should."
"Please, Ethic,"
she cried.
"I can't do this alone."
She was distraught. Another hurt caused by him. Another life destroyed because of him.
"Okay,"
she sniffed as she stood, and they followed the doctor to Nanny's room.
"I'm going to be right here in the hall,"
Ethic said, feeling fucked up about being a part of this moment at all. Alani went inside the room, and when she saw all the tubes coming out of Nanny's body, she turned right back around. She ran into Ethic's arms.
"Get me out of here,"
she cried. Ethic picked her up and carried her out of the hospital. He couldn't take her home and expect her to be alone, so he broke one of his rules and took a woman to his house. By the time they arrived, it was past midnight, and even Lily had fallen asleep on the couch. Ethic went to wake her and then sent her home before escorting Alani to one of his guest rooms. She sat on the bed and Ethic kneeled on the floor between her legs as she placed her hand on his head, tracing the pattern of his waves as he bent his head in despair.
"I'm sorry, Alani,"
he said.
"You'll never know how sorry I am. I need to be honest with you. And there's no easy way for me to tell you this."
"Stop, Ethic," she whispered as she lifted his face and stared him in the eyes.
"I can't take no more bad news, I can't. It will be the thing that breaks me. So, whatever you're about to say, just please, I'm begging you. If you know it's gonna hurt me, then just don't say it."
"Alani, it's important."
"Just
get out!" she shouted, louder than she intended. Ethic stood and backpedaled from the room, knowing he couldn't tell her now. It wasn't the right time. He would let her have some space and some peace to mourn all she had lost. He checked in on his children, feeling guilty that they were tucked safely in their beds while everyone Alani loved was in peril. His mind was chaotic, his humanity challenged, and his spirit was destroyed. He wasn't a bad man, but then again, maybe he was. His actions were speaking loudly, drowning out his intentions. No matter what he did, destruction followed him. He had to discharge some of this negativity that was choking him. He retreated to his room and changed his clothes before heading to the one place in his house he knew he could find peace. Chapter 17.
"I shouldn't have snapped on him,"
she thought, as she gripped the sink in the guest bathroom in Ethic's palace. She cleared the steam from the mirror in front of her, looking at herself. She was wrapped in a plush towel, her hair was soaking wet, shrinking her long curls up to her shoulders. Alani could see the exhaustion in her face. She had so much on her shoulders, so much sorrow, so much weight, that it was almost intolerable. She walked back into the guest room and pulled open the drawers, hoping to find a clean t-shirt she could sleep in. She pulled one of the neatly folded Oxford shirts from the drawer and put it on. She couldn't help but grow jealous of whoever had laundered it. They had taken the time to spray his signature scent onto it, and she wondered if it was the woman she had seen him with at the diner. The scent of his cologne surrounded her, as she pulled the collar to her nose and inhaled it. She hoped he wouldn't mind. She doubted he would. Ethic had been the most accommodating person she had ever met, and it surprised her because she knew he was anything but friendly. In fact, he was downright guarded.
"I'm the asshole,"
she thought. Alani had asked him to leave, had put him out of a room in a house that he owned, even though distance from him was the last thing she wanted. Alani didn't know how she was supposed to manage this new relationship she had with Ethic. He had come to her in the most confusing and torrential time of her life.
"I should have heard him out,"
she thought. She crept out of the room, as quietly as she could, not wanting to wake his children. She had to see his face, had to feel the rise and fall of his chest against hers as he hugged her. She needed to feel that pulse that he sent through her, like shock pads to her heart. He revived her when she was circling the drain. She went from room to room in search of him, wanting to apologize, hoping that he would give in to her need for him. Death surrounded her, it suffocated her, and drowned her in suffering. A bullet to the head would have been more civilized than this. Besides suicide, Ethic was her only relief. She needed more than a hug. She needed his tongue against hers, his body connected to hers, inside of hers, so she could feel all the healing he had to give. Alani was sick with loss, and Ethic was the only remedy that worked. She noticed a door on the first floor was slightly ajar, and she slowly descended the steps into the basement. It was like she could sense that he was down there. Her entire body reacted as she drew near. When she saw him, she stopped, and her breath caught in her throat as she witnessed God's work of art. Alani felt like she was a voyeur, watching an intimate moment, one that wasn't meant for anyone's eyes, but still she enjoyed it. Ethic's body was like a statue, sculpted by years of discipline, his strength present but not overwhelming. Had she seen any other man practicing yoga, she would have judged him,
probably would have surmised he had a bit of sugar in his tank. But the way Ethic moved fluidly from one position to the next, his muscles bulging from the intensity of it all. Nothing had ever looked so masculine. He was all man, all chocolate, and Alani wanted a taste of him. The Nike football training tights he wore proved that his manhood was not to be denied. The outline of him teased her, and as she bit down on her lip, he was strong, full of stock from African kings, royal blood coursing through his veins, thick authority swinging between his legs. Alani quivered as nature caused her southern lips to produce a sweet nectar. She was lusting in heat as her biological affinity for a man caused her body to respond. Her nipples hardened and rubbed against the fabric of his shirt as the scent of his cologne only heightened her desire. He was a beautiful man. Yes, beautiful, because handsome would just not suffice. She had never met a man like this. Ethic made everyone before him seem boyish, as if all other men were still swimming in a kiddie pool. And he was all alone on some grown man shit. He noticed her out the corner of his eye.
Come here.
It was a command, and it startled her, that he knew she was in the room. She flushed in embarrassment, as she